Good morning. Welcome to Asbury. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. That's found in your bulletin. Sing to the Lord a song of hope and rejoicing. God has remembered God's faithful ones.
God has poured blessings upon us.
Praise the Lord, all the earth. Shout your praise.
Rejoice, for God is truly with us.
Amen. And then we have our hymn number 139, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. If y'all would bow your heads and join me in the prayer of confession found in your bulletins. Loving and merciful One, we thank you for the community in which you have placed us, for the brothers and sisters with whom we walk this pilgrim journey. Yet we confess that we fail to love as you love. We push aside those whom we believe are the least in your kingdom. We fail to see your kingdom in parables because we'll see your kingdom in each other. Form in us a new vision of community in which there is neither east nor west, neither south nor north. We pray for the sake of your kingdom that both is and is not yet. Amen. Please be seated. I will now read Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord, the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. For the Lord is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness.
Amen. Thank you, Larissa. And thank you for being our liturgist this morning. You are doing a wonderful job. I remember the very first time I was a liturgist was at Cabot UMC, and I was not a teenager. I was about 36 years old. And I was doing the affirmation of faith, and I left out the line, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so I completely threw the Trinity away the very first time I was liturgist. It can be stressful, but it is so wonderful, and I thank you on this Senior Sunday. I want to begin our time together this morning before I pray by just wishing all of our mothers here in the sanctuary and our mothers that are watching online, Happy Mother's Day. You are truly a blessing from God, and we are thankful for each and every one of you. For all that you do in the life of your children, whether it's raising them to know and love Jesus Christ, cleaning their crayons off the walls, wiping their runny noses, driving them to and from wherever they need to go, you truly are special. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. It's a blessing to have my mother here this morning as well. How we raise our children is so important. It's so critical. And sometimes we wonder if we're doing it right, and sometimes we wonder if we're not. But then we see students like Larissa Temple and like Adithia Kambathula, who are graduating seniors this year. And we realize that God works so powerfully in the lives of our children. And we are so thankful for them, because on top of it being Mother's Day, it's also Senior Sunday. And so we're recognizing and celebrating them. Adithia read scripture during the launch service, and Larissa's up here on an island as the liturgist this morning. And it's just an example of their faithfulness. So as they head out into their future, both of them are heading to Fayetteville in the fall. I've been told there's a college there. I don't know if any of you have heard of it. And I have no doubt that they are going to be the hands and feet of Christ up there. And they're going to take a little bit of Asbury with them. You all have done so much in their raising, and you all have meant a lot to us as well. And so we celebrate you, and we will miss you. Excited to bring this message this morning. Before we do that, join me as a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you today for this opportunity to gather as your beloved children. You have called us together for a purpose, and God, we ask that in this time together, you reveal what that is. We know we are here to glorify you, to give praise to your name, and to thank you for your unending grace, your limitless love, and your uncountable blessings that you continue to pour into our lives, both into us and through us, so that we may be a blessing to others. So God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to gather as your children. We thank you this morning, God, for mothers, for the blessing that they are in our lives, for those of us that have been raised by mothers, those of us that are mothers today raising children. We thank you for each and every one of them. We always carry a little bit of them with us as we go down the road of life, and what they impart upon us is truly special, and so we thank you. We thank you for our graduating seniors this morning, for Adithia and Larissa. We thank you for their time with us here at Asbury. As they move into their new spaces, the new season of their life, God, we ask that you are with them, that you walk alongside them, and that you empower them to be the image of Christ in the world. And please, God, remind them and help them remember that as they face new joys and new challenges, that regardless of what they are going through, they always have a home here at Asbury, and we will always welcome them with a hug, a smile, and we will be thankful to be with them again. God, we give you thanks for Nicole Rose. We thank you for sending her to us. We are overcome with joy as she moves into her leadership role with Children and Family Ministries. We ask that you're with her, God, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you empower her to lead our children's ministry into the future. We also pray for our Sunday school teachers, children's Sunday school teachers, youth helpers, adult Sunday school teachers. May you continue to empower them to do these critical teachings about your son's love to our children, our youth, and our adults. We pray this morning for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, for those that are moving in dark and unsafe spaces to bring the light of your gospel in the places that need it the most. We ask that you are with them, that you provide a hedge of protection around them as they seek to bring the message of joy and hope in places where it is not welcome, but desperately needed. We pray this morning for our nation. We pray for its leaders, that in all they do, they seek your will. We pray this morning for our church right here at Asbury. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith, Jesselyn Sinkhorn, June Glazier, Barbara Clark, John Howsworth, Betty Hill. God, we lift those names up to you today and ask that you are with them, that you are working in their lives what they need by your will. We also pray for those whose names we do not mention, but rest at the top of our hearts, the top of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We ask that you are with those as well, as well with our entire Asbury community, as we lean into the future of mission and ministry, as we lean into a period of transition. May you walk with us, God. May you reveal to us the call in our lives so that we may be the future force of discipleship in this community that so desperately needs it. And lastly, God, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the price he paid on the cross. We thank you for his victory over death. All things we are not capable of doing ourselves, that then opened a door for us to walk through, to experience your love, to experience your grace, to rest and remain in your presence. And so, God, we thank you for that. We can never show you the depths of our thanks, but we thank you. We thank you for Jesus' earthly ministry. We thank you for the teachings that we have with us today, like the one in the scripture we will be talking about. We thank you for what he showed us, showing us how to love and how to relate to one another, how to treat each other with kindness and compassion and understanding. We thank you for the door that he opened to us up to you, God, the ability to connect through prayer with you. And we thank you for what he taught us when he taught us how to pray with our Lord's Prayer, which we will now say together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel this morning. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 15. I'll be reading verses 9 through 17. Hear now the word of God. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It is always a blessing when we have Phil here and we have an opportunity to hear that flute. Diana is an excellent music minister. It does not hurt to have that at home, right? So talented, both of them, and thank you for that beautiful anthem. I have an admission to make before we start our sermon this morning. With it being Mother's Day and in the spirit of that, I would like to admit to you all that I consider myself a pretty decent husband. I mean, I'm at least a solid 7 out of 10, okay? Now, men, honestly, by a show of hands, how many consider yourselves a solid 7 out of 10? Go ahead and raise them. One, thank you, Ron, for your honesty. I see 2, 3, 4. Only Clark Cogbill raised his hand in the early service, and I think he got a quick elbow. I say that to tell you that when I think of myself as a husband, sometimes I do it sort of through this lens of tunnel vision, right? I don't know if I'm truly a 7 out of 10. You'll have to ask Jennifer for that. She's sitting right there in the front row. Because what matters when it comes to our marriage or when it comes to how we raise children is not what I necessarily think of myself, the job I'm doing, but how she thinks I'm doing as a husband. Sometimes we can get stuck in the tunnel vision of our lives, and we miss a lot that goes on around us. We do that in our relationships. We do that in our work life. We do that in how we relate to our friends. And we also do it when we read Scripture. As a matter of fact, we're very guilty of doing that when we read Scripture. The passage I read to you this morning is absolutely beautiful, right? How could it not be? In 8 verses, John uses the word love 11 times. It's a beautiful passage. It is a great passage for a t-shirt. It is a great passage for an Instagram post and for a coffee mug. But it's also one of those passages that if we only see it in this view, if we see it in our tunnel vision view, we often miss the whole story of what Jesus is telling us. So this morning, as we look at this passage, I challenge you to join me as we step away from our own tunnel vision view. Let's step back a little bit and let's look at the context and see what Jesus is teaching us about what it means to love our neighbor. This passage here in John is part of a larger passage that is called the Farewell Discourse. So what is going on in the gospel and what is going on in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ and his disciples? They have just finished the Last Supper. And Jesus and the 11 are heading from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. You notice I say Jesus and the 11 because Judas has already left. He's on his way to go make his money by giving away Jesus' coordinates in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is not a surprise to Jesus. Obviously, he knows what is coming. He knew all along that Judas was going to betray him. So as the hours wane in his earthly ministry, his teachings become very, very concentrated on what the life of the believer should and could look like once he returns to the Father. You know the passage before this very well. Verses 1 through 8 talk about how Jesus is the true vine. We know that. We've read it. We've heard it preached a lot of times. And that we are the fruit. And that God is the vine clipper. He's the one that trims the bad fruit so the good fruit can grow. That would have made a lot of sense to a Jewish audience. Because the Jewish audience, the Israelite culture in the first century was very agrarian. So when they hear terms like vines and fruit bearing, that connects with them. Maybe more so than it would today. Perhaps if Jesus was giving that message to a group of disciples in 2021, he might say, I am the iPhone, and you are the text message. And God is the text blocker. Don't you wish we had something like that? Some Christian app that right before you went to send a text out or a Facebook post out, it popped up and said, should you? It would have saved me a few texts over the years, I promise you. But they would have understood it. But here's the funny thing about this statement that Jesus makes about being the true vine. If you understand the Old Testament, you understand the way Scripture has played out and how the Old Testament is laid out, the term vine was not usually a positive term when it came to the Jewish people. If you look in places like Psalm 80 or Isaiah 5 or Jeremiah 2, Ezekiel 15, the vine is actually represented in the negative. These prophets are talking about the Israelites as the vine that has gone wild, that has gone astray, that has drifted from God. It's why they keep ending up in exile and back out of exile and in exile and back out. It's because they turn away and they forget. And so this idea of the vine has a negative impression, but Jesus turns it into the positive. He says, I am the true vine. Everything you do in your life that you do apart from me is worthless. It bears no fruit. And God will come in and he will snip out the bad fruit and give the good fruit a chance to regrow and grow stronger. So this would have made a lot of sense. I love verse 9. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain. What does that mean and how do we do that? How do we remain in the love of Christ? By keeping his commands. It's right there in the next verse. By keeping my commands. One of the things that we get guilty of, or we become guilty of so often in our lives, is we just get so distracted. We're running from here to there. We're doing this and doing that. And we get drawn into these lessons that the world tries to teach us about what love really is. And that's not what love really is. When we pull ourselves away from Christ, we lose a sense of real love. Love becomes selfish. Love becomes an exchange. What can I get out of this? It is only through Christ that we learn what real enduring love is. And that's what Jesus is saying to the disciples. This is a teaching for the disciples, but we can gain a lot from it. He said, look, you've been with me for 3 years. You've seen the miracles. You've seen the healings. You have heard the teachings. You have seen what I am done and what I am all about. Everything the Father has revealed to me, I have now revealed to you. Now go, bear fruit. As I leave, go and bear fruit. But as you notice, if you know the story well, if you know the gospel well, you know the disciples run away. Because there is sacrifice in this. It's messy. It is hard. Okay? I use a good example that I use in the launch services. You know, one thing I love about the Gospel of John is that the Last Supper doesn't talk about the final meal, right? It talks about foot washing. All right? And foot washing does not seem that exciting to me. I have a teenage son. I know what those feet smell like. But true service is meant to be hard. It's not meant to be what's comfortable for us. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world is not supposed to be easy, because so often the world just doesn't want to hear it. And so if we are going to do it right, we have to understand truly what it means to be loved by God. What are the two great commandments? Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. We throw those around very often, and God is putting this very simple. And it starts with the first commandment that he gave to Moses, have no other gods but me. How often in our lives do we fill it with other gods? It happened to the Israelites. If most teenagers are like my son, you probably have more pictures of athletes hanging in your bedroom than you do of Jesus Christ. That's not a bad thing. It's good to have our heroes. But what we cannot do is we cannot allow the heroes of our culture to replace Christ in our hearts. Because what we find is when we become too enamored with athletes and politicians and celebrities, is never fails, they prove their humanity. They prove their sinful nature, and they always let us down. Christ in his enduring love never does. But God knows that. God knows that as much as he loves us, we are prone to finding other gods. We love to worship our sports, our celebrities. We worship our own children, and on and on. So he gave us that commandment that you shall have no other gods. It isn't so much that God is doing this to ask for something. This is not an exchange. What we are receiving in this moment is we are receiving God's unending grace. And it's so beautiful. God is saying, love me because I love you. I choose you. As broken and as awful and as sinful as we can be sometimes, God chooses us. And that door is open for us to walk through at any time. Because it is by that grace, by God's grace, that we are saved. And it is by God's grace that we're even able to stay connected to the vine. And the more we stay connected, the more we understand the Father's love, that will then propel us and carry us into the world. 1 John 14 tells us that in this love, not that we have loved God, but that we loved us and sent his Son as an exchange for our sins. Jesus loves us not because we earned it, but that is who he is. God is love. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would, please stand as you are able, and we will affirm our faith together. The affirmation of faith is found listed in your bulletin on page 2. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for our closing hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. It's on page 384 of your hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Before we get out of here, Pastor Dee, do you want to come down and join me? Look at her hiding back there. She's about ninth row. And Nicole, why don't you come on up here and join us? Folks, I wanted to take a moment and introduce Nicole Rose. Nicole Rose is our new director of children and family here at Asbury. It is an absolute blessing. It is an absolute blessing that she has come to us, and we're so excited about the future of our children's ministry here. Nicole, I believe, will hang after the service to meet you. That will happen on the north porch. So as you're making your way out today, you can greet her and hug her and welcome her to Asbury as we do so well. Also, if any of you purchased youth t-shirts over the last couple of weeks, those are in. And if you would like me to get yours for you before you leave, just grab me when the service is over. Hear now this benediction. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you, and may peace be your way in the world. God loves you. Go in peace. Amen.